The Greek Crisis Goes Global.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. German Chancellor Angela Merkel met with deep pockets today to discuss a bailout of Greece. Those deep pockets include the International Monetary Fund and the European Central Bank. World markets, including those here in the U.S., have been tanking after Standard & Poor's downgraded Greece's debt to junk status. Here to talk about this with us is our very own Stephen Beard in London. He joins us live. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stacey.
Stephen, from what I understand, the Europeans have already decided to lend Greece $60 billion. What do they have left to talk about today?
Well, it's actually the EU and the IMF between them have offered $60 billion. What they'll be talking about today is whether they should be offering Greece even more money. Analysts are suggesting the IMF will offer Greece another $13 billion. But a fundamental problem here is the EU side of the equation. The Germans in particular seem reluctant to cough up the money that they originally pledged. It was very unpopular with the German people. And the German Chancellor Angela Merkel faces an important regional election next month. She seems to be having second thoughts. The widespread feeling in Germany is Greece is going bust. Why throw good money after bad?
One of the things I've heard is that the crisis has been described as a game of dominoes, with Ireland and Portugal potentially failing if Greece does. How does that work?
Yes, there's no doubt about that. I mean, S&P yesterday lowered their rating on Portuguese government debt, and worries are growing about the bonds of more heavily indebted but much bigger Eurozone members like Spain, even Italy. Here's Neil McKinnon of VTB Capital.
There's a systemic risk here that if bond investors do suffer losses, which they already are, anyone who's bought Greek bonds this year is already suffering a heavy loss, there is a feeling that other countries might go down the same route.
Stephen, is that why U.S. investors and other global investors are so scared?
Absolutely. The big fear is that governments have racked up so much debt, bailing out their banks and staving off recession. They have so much to borrow this year. I mean, the U.S. $1 trillion on its own. Bond investors who are already suffering losses could perhaps go on strike, refuse to buy so many bonds, or insist on very much higher interest rates. That's the worry. That could dent economic recovery.
Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Stacey.
Like Stephen said, Greece's troubles are weighing heavy on world markets today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 2% yesterday, closing below 11,000 at 10,991. Europe not looking any better this morning. London's FTSE is off more than 1%. Germany's DAX is down 2%. One bullish spot in all the bearish news, ironically enough, Goldman Sachs. The investment bank added 0.2% yesterday. That despite the fact most of its executives spent the day on Capitol Hill getting grilled by lawmakers on accusations of fraud. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that story.
The Goldman Sachs executives answered questions from the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations for almost 11 hours. The panel's chairman, Democrat Carl Levin of Michigan, asked again and again if the executives thought they did anything wrong. Again and again, the bankers said no. Goldman is accused of betting against its clients, selling them investments it knew were shaky.
You were making a lot of money betting against securities that you were selling to customers. That is, I think, intolerable. There's a fundamental conflict of interest.
Goldman CEO Lloyd Blankfein told the subcommittee that clients who bought risky investments from Goldman were sophisticated enough to know exactly what they were doing. He says they were looking for risk, and that's what they got. This wasn't a trial, but legal questions about Goldman's conduct will continue in court. The Securities and Exchange Commission has sued the investment bank, saying it defrauded investors. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
GOP senators circled the wagons again yesterday to block financial reform from hitting the Senate floor. That was the second time this week. Republicans unveiled their own version of the bill. Among the changes, a bailout ban. No more too big to fail.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the New Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Great Recession has hit state budgets hard. The governor of Texas has been touting its financial health, but now the Lone Star State is facing money troubles of its own. From KUT in Austin, Ben Philpott reports.
The Texas legislature doesn't meet again until 2011. And when it does, lawmakers will be greeted with a $10 to $17 billion budget shortfall. To fix that, they'll try to scrub the budget. It sounds much nicer than cutting. Lawmakers replace some government workers with computers or outside contractors.
Well, we call that low-hanging fruit.
Arlene Wolgemuth is a former state lawmaker. She helped scrub the budget during the state's last fiscal crisis in 2003.
I think most of the low-hanging fruit has been picked. I think they're going to have to get the ladder and get way up in the tree to find that efficiency. But they're going to have to do it.
State agencies have already been asked to cut their budgets by 5%. Another 5% cut to state agencies is expected in the next budget. That's only going to save a couple billion. Texas does have an economic stabilization fund, also called the Rainy Day Fund, that will have about $8 billion in it. State Comptroller Susan Combs says that should be good enough.
There is no Chicken Little, sky is falling. We have a hole. We have shovels. We know how to fill it. And fortunately, we've got a pile of cash over the Rainy Day Fund with which we can fill the hole.
That's if it's on the low end of the projected budget gap. The high end, about $17 billion, could mean even more cuts and the possibility of increased taxes. But Republicans control the state legislature and just aren't too keen to raise taxes. From Austin, I'm Ben Philpott for Marketplace.
And finally, the Department of Transportation has fined Southwest Airlines $200,000 for breaking rules when it bumped passengers off oversold flights. Apparently, Southwest didn't inform them of their rights, which include being paid for the inconvenience. Last year, Southwest bumped more than 13,000 passengers. That's 80% more than the next closest airline. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.